Chapter 1 and Job chapter 1 and verse, I gotta give you the title. Remember last week how complicated the title was? It's been a long time since last week. It's been 7 days. Days are long, aren't they? And a lot happens in a week. It's a good thing. A lot of good things. We'll be in Job. We'll get there in a sec. So we're talking about things we don't know. Underneath things we don't know, we're under why bad things happen. Okay, last week we did why bad things happen that we'll know about later. Okay, and let me just review that just for a sec. Sometimes we know, sometimes bad things happen and we end up knowing why a little bit later. So there's different classifications. Bad things happen sometimes that we know why they happened. Why did they get cancer? You smoked cigarettes for 25 years, 2 packs a day. You know why it happened. Somebody overdoses on drugs. And why did this happen? Because they took too many drugs. Simple logic is usually there and you can use it. Pretty simple. I get mad and kick the table and I break my toe and I say, "Oh God, why did you do this to me?" And all the angels laugh at you. And so it's just simple logic. And so we know why some things happen. Sometimes something happens and God is disciplining us and the Holy Spirit tells you it's because of this. Now, not always that's the case. Sometimes bad things happen because we have other reasons. But there's those things that are just things we know. Right when they happen, you know why. Then there's some things you don't know until afterward. Remember the blind man? He was an adult and in his 40s probably. And they said, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" And Jesus said, "Neither, but that the glory of God can be shown." And so the man was healed of his blindness. And boom, God got glory. And this man was healed. And God used it to reach people. And so afterward, he found out why. Paul's thorn in the flesh. He didn't know why at first. He tried to get it departing. Three different times, and then God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee," and he says, "I will therefore gladly glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So he knew afterward why it happened, and many things where we're going to find out later, but we have to obey in order to find out later on. If we leave God's will or don't stay faithful, we'll probably never know why, because we're not there to meet God with the answer when he says, "This happened for this reason." So now we're going why bad things happen, and some things we don't know until afterward. We did that last week. This week is some things we don't know in this life. Now, eventually we know everything. In heaven, then shall it be I know even as also I am known, 1 John tells us. But until heaven, there's things we just don't know about. And so let's go to Job chapter 1 and verse 7. We're going to talk about things that we don't know, and that's why bad things happen, and some things we're not going to know about in this life, why they happen. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job serve God for naught, for nothing? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But now put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only on himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth in the presence of the Lord. We preached on Job 3 weeks ago on the Sunday morning. And just remember that point that Job said, if you hurt him, God, he'll curse you to your face. And God said, "Okay, devil, go ahead and hurt him." But God didn't hurt him. But he did allow the devil to hurt him. And the devil's always trying to pit us against God. And that's what he does. And, of course, God's too wise for that. And so they go and... Satan has it, Job. We'll pray and we'll talk about when some things happen you'll never know about on this earth. Let's pray. Lord, speak to us and give us your understanding. You're a heavenly Father who cares about us. I think you give us the answers clearly, Father, but I think many people don't know those answers. Even some Christians don't know them. They get a little mixed up about how earth is supposed to go and why things happen. And Lord, there's just some things that happen that we won't know about in this life. And I pray that you would give us your thinking on this. I pray we'd see things in the light of Scripture. we would think godly thoughts and have renewed minds. We pray the Spirit of God to fall fresh on us, and as Jesus walks in the midst, maybe walking up to each one of us and whispering in our ears specific things and helping us to not be bitter, to be trusting, to be thinking the thoughts of God in Jesus' name. Amen. I have things in my life that I don't know why they happened yet. I might find out someday. I've had many things that happened I didn't know at the time, and now I know. And I'm sure things that happen now I don't know. Some of them will filter out into knowing on earth. But there's probably some things that will happen in my life that I don't know right now that I'll probably not know until I get to heaven, and then everything becomes clear and everything seems right. Job is allowed to be attacked by Satan and for Satan to go after him. And so I won't belabor this story, but I want to go through the story a little bit and then through the book a little bit, even though it's a long book, but we won't be too long in any part of it. First of all, his oxen and donkeys, and they bred him, and they had a mix. So, and his onkies, and it's late. I was up early, and his oxen and donkeys died, and his servants all died. I'm talking about serious things, and you're laughing. And verse 15, the Sabians fell upon them and took them away, yea, and they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee. While he's yet speaking, remember, while he was yet speaking, he's getting piled on him. The oxen and donkeys and servants all died, then his sheep all died. Verse 16, while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven, and burned, it's not the fire of God, by the way, had burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. I only am left. Then his camels and his servants die. Verse 17, and while he's just speaking, there came another, saying the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee. And then the worst of all, his children and their other servants are all killed. Verse 19, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am alone to tell thee. So Job, and all not in one day, but in it happened, and the servants all just got there, boom, 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 boom. And of course, we saw that Satan, of course, controlled the Chaldeans and the Sabians. He controlled people on earth. And see, listen, if somebody's a rapist, he's not under the control of God. Okay? And so... And so they go out, they go and they kill all his servants and take away all of his wealth is destroyed in one day. And so all that happens, and his children, he finds out, have all dead. And of course, Job has this great reaction in verse 20 and 21. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down on the ground and worshipped. That's the greatest thing. And said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So Job reacts at verse 22, well, in all things Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job is an A-plus so far at his reaction. I don't think by the time it's done he's an A-plus, but he's pretty good and a lot better than I would be. So I think he got maybe a B-plus by the time it was done. And the Lord rebuked him a little bit, but kind of, said, your friends are worse. And Job had the great reaction. Then the devil comes again, and God says, see, I told you. Look at Job. He didn't curse me. And Satan says, yeah, but you know, you kept his health. Well, that's kind of a dumb thing. Satan has never been a human. And our health is important to us, but if you said, you know what, your kids can all live, but your health is going to be shot, I'll take my health being shot. But Satan thought, you know, if he loses his health, he's going to curse you then. If you didn't curse him when he lost all his wealth and all of his family and everything all at once, well, he's still going to be faithful. And his health went bad. He got boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He hurt so bad he set a pile of coals and took a piece of metal and scraped his skin because all these sores were just putrefying. And for some reason, that gave him relief. And he was in great pain when Satan took his health away and took that out. And yet he still wouldn't curse God in chapter 2, verse 8, he says, and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. And his wife said to him, "Dost thou retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." Thank you, honey. I needed that today. And so why couldn't you have been visiting the kids? She's nasty and says that, "Well, you guys have got a bad sense of humor. What is wrong with you?" Give me a hug. Let's see if this is contagious. He says, "You're speaking of a foolish woman, and God is good," so he doesn't curse God. But he gets that, and his wife reacts like that. Then Job's friends come, and nobody says anything for a week. For 7 days, everybody sits there, and silently, you're looking at Job scraping himself and has shaved his head, and they're just sitting there, and, you know, just boom. So they sit there for 7 days, and his friends come, and then finally, then in 7 days, Job gives a speech and says, "I have no idea what happened. Well, I wish I would have never been born." The first thing he starts off with, "Cursed be the day that I was born. I wish that day would have never happened." That's where Job starts. His friends react, and his first friend is Eliphaz, and Eliphaz, however you want to say it. He starts in chapter 4 and gives a speech and tells Job what the real problem is. Now, Job is getting this because Satan and God are at this war to see if somebody really loves God enough to keep on serving him and all these things, and if he serves God for no reason. And Job's being tested to see if there's anything to him, and also it's a test of God to see if anything would really serve him without him blessing them. I wonder how many of us can pass that test. Does God have to bless you to make you serve him? Or it's just because he's God and he gave his son for you and you love him, whether he can do anything for you or not. And Eliphaz comes and he says, "You know what, Job, I'm not going to let this pass. The reason this happened is this is God's discipline on you. Innocent people do not suffer. And so you did something wrong." And chapter 4, verse 8, "Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same." Chapter 5, he continues on, verse 2, "For wrath killeth a foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I curse his habitation. His children are far from safety." What do you think they're saying? He's saying there. He's saying wicked people's children are far from safety. "And they are crushed in the gate, neither is there any to deliver them. Whose harvest the hungry eateth up, and taketh it even out of their thorns, and the robber swalleth up all their substance." Why do you think they stole your unkies, or whatever I said? And why do you think they stole them? Because you have no protection, and your kids don't have protection because you're wicked. And that's why this happened. And that's his thought, and that's what he's got it all figured out. And he says, "Repent. And maybe God will be nice to you again." Verse 17, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall be no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, in war and the power of the sword." So just spiritual man. All of Job's friends have spiritual thoughts. They think you've not honored God, you've done the wrong thing. They aren't necessarily immoral people that are wicked and terrible. They're just guessing. And they're guessing wrong. Next friend, when that guy gets done, Job says, that's not the problem, guys. And his next friend, Bildad, starts talking. Bildad said, "You should have been right. This would not have happened." In chapter 8. chapter 8, verse 3. "Doth God pervert judgment? Or doth the Almighty pervert justice? If thy children have sinned against him, and he have cast them away in their transgression, if thou wouldest seek unto God betimes," that means early, "and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous." He said, if you get right with God, none of this stuff would be there. It'll all go away. It's fine. You're just not right with God. Zophar comes along And Job says, "Hey guys, I'm telling you, I know you think that this is because God's punished me. I've seen the wicked punish, but this isn't me. And I don't know what happened here. I'm pleading to God. God, show me why this was, or just let me die because I don't want to live anymore. But as far as I know, my hands are innocent." And they get mad at him again, and Zophar begins speaking. And he, in chapter 11, begins to tell Job why this happened in chapter 11 and verse 4. For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure, and I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. He says, you're lucky, buddy. God would do more to you for your sin. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty by perfection, even as high as the heavens? What canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? He says, you know, God's just been merciful. You deserve worse than this. And in Job and all this, he just kind of says, I don't really know why this is happening. And at times he goes and he raises very high and says, you know what? I know that he has tried me, and when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. Other times he says, I know God is just, and I know God is good. I don't understand this, but I know my Redeemer liveth, and I know he's doing the right thing. Other times he's saying, I wish I would have died. God, would you come so I can talk to you about this thing? Because I do not see any fairness in this. And Job is struggling through the whole thing, just talking what's in his heart. And so, for example, chapter 10, in verse 2, Job, after his friends are condemning him, and he said, at the start of verse 1, my soul is weary of life, and I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherewith thou condemnest me, contendest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands, and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Hast thou eyes of flesh, he's talking to God, and seest thou as man seest? Are thy days the days of man? Are thy years as a man's days? Thou that inquirest after mine iniquity and searchest after my sin, thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. Thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me. Remember, I beseech you, that thou hast made me as the clay, and will bring me, and wilt thou bring me to dust again? And so he just is explaining his heart and kind of saying how he feels and so forth. Let's go to chapter 37, just as he goes to the book. And then basically what happens is his friends say, how dare you say that? You did it. This is happening because of this. And then another friend, a fourth friend, jumps in just for a minute with a little better perspective, but not too great. And Job would say, I don't know. I don't think you're right. And they would say, no, it's because of this. And then he'd defend himself. And then he'd say, because of this. And he'd say, why God? And they'd say, it's because of this. And then you go through 30 chapters of just, ugh. Y'all are guessing. And we know the truth because we get to read chapter 1 and 2. We know why it happened. But none of these guys know. And so Job, as he continues on, and later in 37, he kind of, expressed himself a little more here, verse 23. He kind of starts resting in sovereignty. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty and in justice. He will not afflict. Men do therefore fear him. He respecteth not any that are wise of heart. He says, it's just, God is what he is. He says, and I think my favorite verse, one of my favorite verses of the whole thing is, the funny verse is Job chapter 16 and verse 2. He said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. That's a pretty good assessment of these guys. And so there. So then at this point, God answers. And God speaks to Job. And God speaks very strongly to Job. And really harshly to Job. And he's going to have a message, not, no, you're not sin. No, you're not wicked. But Job, I'm sovereign. I do what I want. You have no idea what's going on. I'm a lot smarter than you. And God wants us to say, you're God. Okay, you know more than me. And you would think that'd be easy for humans. No, we think we know more than God. If we ask, do you think you know more than God? No. Okay, so it's okay that God did that? No, it's not right. God is not, he does not understand. Okay. One of these things is not like the other one. You're not getting it right here. One of these things can't be can't be true. And so God talks to him very strongly. Watch how God talks to him. Chapter 38 and verse 1. It says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is he that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. He says, let's see how many answers you got, Job. I'm going to start asking you some questions. Let's see if he got the answers. He says, where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hast stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? How's the earth floating in space, Job? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the seas with doors when it brake forth, as if it issued from the womb? When it made the cloud, the garment thereof, and the thick darkness, a swaddling band for it? He says, where were you when I made all these things, Job? How did I make the earth? How did I say, let there be light, and all of a sudden universes appeared? How is the universe floating? How did the sun start burning? Job, since you seem to know so much, why don't you tell me? And the friends are listening, saying, I wish I would have shut up. Because he's saying, you guys don't know anything. You think you're so smart. Humans are unbelievably arrogant creatures. Just have something bad and walk up to 20 people and ask them why it happened to you. You know, 19 of them will talk authoritatively like they know. When they have no clue. Because everybody's an expert. Everybody's an expert at everybody else's life. Not so good at their own answers. But they got answers for you. And all these guys had answers for Job. And so God continues on with Job. And he's just in creation and nature, you have no idea. Chapter 39, verse 26. Doth the flock, boy, I'm rough tonight, aren't I? Doth a hawk fly by thy wisdom? We'll take dyslexia tonight. See if you're listening. I should have just went on. You would have noticed. Doth a hawk fly by thy wisdom and stretch out her wings toward the south? Doth the eagle mount up at thy command and make her nest on high? Hey, hey Job, you're so smart. I guess you're the guy, one who made the eagle fly like they do, and you designed the wings, right? You're so smart. You know everything. She dwelleth and abideth in the rock, and upon the crag of the rock in the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones do all this. And said, and moreover, Job, the Lord answered Job and said, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer him. He says, you going to teach me something, Job? You think you know. You've been sitting here saying it's not fair. You don't understand. You got to ask me some questions. Well, ask me. But first, I want you to answer the questions. He's making Job know and make all his friends know. You guys have no clue why this happened. And that's what he's doing. And let me just defend the sovereignty of God. He's God. We're the creation. He can do whatever he wants. You don't think he's fair? Big deal. Who are you? You're just, you don't have enough knowledge. I don't have enough knowledge. My knowledge is so limited. Who am I to look at the God of the universe who is perfect and say, you don't know what you're doing? And so God can do what he wants. He compares Job's knowledge to God's knowledge, and he compares Job's strength to dinosaur strength. And it talks a lot about dinosaurs in Job here. Just the Bible talks about dinosaurs. In chapter 40 and verse 15, behold now behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth the grass of the ox. And he talks about how his strength, and look how powerful he is. And you're afraid of him, and you don't even contend with him. Chapter 41, canst thou draw out Leviathan? Leviathan, some kind of giant dinosaur or dragon. With an hook? Or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put a hook into his nose, or bore his jaw with a thorn? He's putting Job down to his size. He's putting his friends down to their size. And so Job kind of says, Lord, I've been kind of stupid here. Now remember, he didn't really curse God. He didn't really say God was evil or wrong. He just said, Lord, this doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem fair. I want to talk to you about this. I want to die. Would you please kill me? Why did this happen? I was making sacrifice to my children. I was doing everything right. Lord, I need you to explain this. Why would I do serve you when it's so bad? And he's in that mode. And God's saying, none of you guys know this stuff. So Job kind of all of a sudden is very humbled. Chapter 42, verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Job explains, hey, I really don't get all this. I don't know a whole bunch. And I'm small, and I don't know a lot. God says, good. Verse 5, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ears, but now my eye seeth thee. He says, I really understand what you're like now, God. And very few people ever get to that point. I don't think you really understand what God's like till you understand his power and sovereignty and greatness and the bigness of God. He says, now I get you. I was thinking of you as kind of a step above me, God. Whoa, I see what you're like now. I'm in awe. Now when Job had said that, verse 7, God responds, and it was so that after the Lord has spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz, can you imagine that? God's thundering these things out of Job. What are you? What do you know? What do you know? Now he turns to Eliphaz. And by the way, you think Job was dumb. If I'm the other two guys, I'm running. And before he gets to me. And so he starts talking to Eliphaz. He says, you guys are idiots. And that's in the Hebrew. Lord said unto Eliphaz, a Temite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. For ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, as my servant Job hath. See, Job wasn't speaking evil things and lying. They were saying God is punishing you for this sin. Job was saying, I don't know why God's doing this. It doesn't seem right. But he says, Job didn't speak evil things of me. You did. I'm not punishing him for his sin. He was right. I didn't even do this, by the way. Satan did it. He didn't tell them that, though. You've not spoken the truth. You've hurt him worse. Therefore, take now you 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job, my servant Job, who you've been saying is a wicked man, and offer up yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and in that ye have not spoken to me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. Verse 10, the Lord turned again. By the way, if you were Job, would you have prayed for him? But Job prayed for him. He's a better man than us. And the Lord turned again the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Book concludes. He gets all these more daughters and sons. He gets 10 times more. And verse 17, Job died, being old and full of days. Great story. True story. Job gets all these things back. God says, you don't know what's going on. And God never tells him. The big detail of Job. God said, you don't know what's going on. You don't have a mind like me. You don't understand what I'm doing. Who are you, Job? And who are you guys? He at least didn't accuse me of doing wrong things. You guys are terrible. And you know what? I'm going to bless Job. Job, pray for your friends. Here's the blessings. I'm going to give you 10 times more than before. I'm going to make you happy. Took care of you. Good job. Pass the test. See you guys later. And Job said, boy, this is great. Hey, by the way, why did that happen? It doesn't answer. But you think Job may have wondered the rest of his life? Job didn't ask. We didn't record him asking. But he was wondering for 39 chapters. And God never answered. He just said, you don't know, Job. And your friends, you're all wrong. And they probably went back saying, boy, that was stupid what I said, but I wonder why that did happen to him. Job knows now why it happened. He got to heaven and said, oh, Boy, Lord, I'm glad I didn't embarrass you. And God gave him these incredible rewards for his suffering, as God always does. Blessed are those that mourn shall be comforted. And those that weep, the rewards are incredible. And imagine the rewards he got when he got up there to heaven for all the good that he had done and for the book of Job being able to written in victory. That Job passed and didn't charge God foolishly. Job knows all those things now, but there's times when he don't know certain things. There's times when you don't have the answer and God's not going to give an explanation. Job later on, after death, I'm sure, because the Bible says, and shall we know, even as also we are known. We have perfect knowledge in heaven, I believe, and we get up to heaven and we see clearly why things happen. But in the Bible, many times before your death, you don't know why things happened. I think of the great story of Stephen. Stephen is winning souls to Christ. He's doing a great work for God. He's a mighty man of God, full of faith in the Holy Ghost. And then all of a sudden, as he's preaching the gospel, some people hear him and get mad at him. They bring him before the council, and Stephen is before the council, and they try him, and he preaches a long sermon in Acts chapter 7. And the Bible says his face was glowing like the face of an angel. And at the end of his sermon, he gets done and he says, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you crucified him and you got to follow God and trust Christ. And they get so furious, it says they're pricked to the heart and they ran upon him furious and gnashed upon him with their teeth, took him and dragged him outside town, threw him down, took stones and killed him. Nobody in that entire courthouse accepted Christ. It was just here's a good guy winning souls, doing a good work, and boom, now he's outside town, now he's dead. And terribly stoned to death. And somebody could say, why did this happen? Well, Stephen in his life was probably sitting here, as he's saying, Lord, lay not the sin of the charge, as he was dying. He's probably saying, why am I dying, God? I was doing the preaching the gospel, and none of you in that court got saved anyway. They all rejected it. But the Bible says they put his clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And that Saul became Paul. And Paul recounts this in Acts 22, verse 20. It says, and when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And so when God comes for Saul's conversion, he says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Talking about the ox goads, the spikes that would keep the oxes from kicking backward. And he'd kick against them, and he said, and he was kicking against something that was poking him. And he was killing Christians, but their testimony in their life, like Stephen looking up to heaven and seeing Jesus at the right hand of the Father and say, Lord, lay not the sin of their charge. He looking at that and said, wow, I could never do that. And he, as he was kicking against the gospel, he was being poked and saying, no, there's something real to these people. And later on, he gets saved. Stephen dies, doesn't know why he dies. Saul didn't get saved right away. Many of his family, he was a deacon, so he probably had a wife and kids, are probably wondering, why did our dad die? Why did our husband die when he's doing nothing wrong? And nobody in the courtroom even got saved, and they attacked him, they rejected it. Why do you have to die? Well, the second it's interesting, Jesus is always seated at the right hand of the Father, but in Acts chapter 7, at the end of the chapter, when Stephen's dying, it said he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Why? He was standing up to receive him. And the second he got into heaven, I think that pretty quick he turned around and Jesus said, hey, look, is that guy standing there? They put his clothes to your feet. He's going to be the greatest Christian who ever lived, and you had a part. He's going to write 13 books in the Bible. He's going to bring the gospel to the West. He's going to be the greatest church planter in history. He's going to win millions to Christ in his ministry. And eventually it'll go to billions because of the churches he started. You had a part and he needed to see you die like that. But in life he didn't. No. Because he was dead by the time Saul got saved. There's many things in life we won't know until we die. So what's the solution? What do I have to do? Sometimes we don't see why bad things happen in our lifetime. But God does a work through it. The key. 2 Timothy 1:12 is the key to this whole thing. And if you don't have this, you'll struggle when bad things happen and you don't see why. You don't see the good that's come out of it. I've been in bad spots. I've been in terrible, tragic situations. I've been in many of the ICU units and seen tragic things and seen families asking why, and I've asked why. But there's one thing that'll keep you going. And one thing that you have to understand, or you will eventually, the devil's going to get you with bitterness. And 2 Timothy 1:12. If I said 1, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, it says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed." That's the key. "And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. It is more important to know who knows than for you to know. We do that with our kids. "Why do we have to go here? Why do we have to go to the doctor?" Just trust me. They don't have to understand why they're going to the doctor. They don't have to understand why they have to go to school. They don't have to understand why we're not going to give them ice cream 3 times a day. They just have to know we know and trust us. But if they don't trust us, they get very angry because they think they know better. But do they know better? No, but they think they do. It is enough that God knows, and he's a good God. The Lord is good and doeth good. "But he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also..." Listen, you got to start off, "God loves me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us." So you trust him enough to say, I'm not getting an explanation on this, Lord, but you know what? If you did it, you must know what's best. And maybe you'll run into the answer later, maybe you won't, but you better be able to trust him to say, "Why are we going to that doctor, Daddy?" And he says, "You know what? Just trust me on this." Just trust me on this. And you just have to trust your father. I had a, I saw him today, my best friend, Roman White. If you know us, if you've been around here very long, you know we went through every kind of adventure in the world together. Everything. You name it. Anything from running from police when we weren't saved and we're rotten little kids. We known each other since 6th and 7th grade. Being in life and death situations in the middle of the ghettos to you name it, we've been there. We've been through everything together. And we trust each other and know each other impeccably since we were, 6th and 7th grade. And so we've been through a lot together. We know each other. And we were bad at times together. Even when we were bad, we trusted each other. When we were in Bible college, we were working together one night, and we're training on a route, a donut route. We're delivering for Dunkin' Donuts, and we went to gas stations to deliver the donuts. At this certain gas station, it was a bad area, we're in the middle of nowhere, and he went into the store, and I went to the bathroom on the dark side of the building, and those metal doors backside of a, those kind of things, and nasty gas station. So I go. Reach over, open the door, and apparently it's supposed to be locked because a guy turns around with a big knife in his hand and white powder goes flying everywhere. Whew. And he starts coming toward me with a knife. Well, I just step behind the door there, and he walks out as fast as he can. I just instinctively walked inside and slammed the door and locked it. And I thought, that guy was, he was putting his cocaine together, and I just interrupted him. But I'm stuck in here. So I listen, and his vehicle's right outside, apparently, because I heard the door get up and close, but the vehicle doesn't start. And so I wait, think, let's see if this guy leaves. He doesn't leave. So I'm waiting. So I said, all right, here we go. I'm bolting, going in the store. Out I go to the door, walk around the corner. As soon as I get out of the car, I hear 2 doors slam, slam, slam. I walk inside the gas station. He's finishing up. We have this case about as big as a pulpit, and this case that holds the donuts. And Roman's right there with the donuts, and I walk inside, I walk up next to him, and I just kneel next to him, and I just said, keep arranging the donuts until I tell you. That's all I said. Now, he knows me so well. he knew something was up. He didn't know anything had happened. And so here comes the guys in the store, and they walk in the store. I'm sitting next to him, and he's sorting the donuts. Apple fritters on top, donuts on bottom. Cake donuts in the middle. Cake donuts on bottom. Oh, you know what? I say, oh man, that apple fritter looks like it should be right next to that Boston cream there. These guys are walking in the store acting like they're doing something. They're walking, but they're watching us the whole time. He lifts up the Pepto-Bismol, watching us. He's looking at the beef jerky, watching us, the two guys. They look the part too. And he keeps on sorting. Oh, let's put this French cruller over here. And then he puts this up here. And then he says, nah. So he puts the tray back up there. And he keeps on going. And they keep looking at the beef jerky and candy. And the guy who's working the store is just going. He still doesn't know what's happening. Roma doesn't know what's happening. All he knows is he knows to trust me. We've been through a lot of danger together. We've been in crazy things. So 3 minutes go by, 5 minutes go by. You know what? That doesn't look right. Let's take that tray would fit better with those donuts. Joot, 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 joot. He keeps sorting donuts. They keep walking around the store. 10 minutes go by. He's still sorting donuts. They're still looking at products, not buying anything. Finally, the guy just give up. They walk out of the store, and the guy at the counter says, what was all that all about? And Roman looks at me and says, what was that all about? I said, it's a really good thing. You listen to me. I said, man, here's what happened. And they're waiting for us to leave. And that, you know, he says, you know, we were dead if we walked out of the store. Now, did he know what was going on? He had no clue. Matter of fact, it looked really weird. And I didn't get to explain anything to him. All I said is keep sorting the donuts until I tell you to stop. That's all I said to him. But he knew me well enough to know that he better keep sorting the donuts until I say to stop, because he just knew I wouldn't do it for no reason. If he could go without an explanation, just keep on doing that and keep on going on and saying, this is really weird, but I'm going to keep on doing it. Strawberries over here again, strawberries over, chocolate over here, maple bars up here, maple bars down here. He can keep on doing that and over and over excessively without saying, why am I doing this? Or anything else. Why can't we just go to God when God says you're going to suffer for a while? Why, God? Just no answer. And you just carry on because you know who you're trusting. God is a good God. He is not changing because bad things happen to you. He doesn't have to explain himself. You just have to know who you're trusting. You have people in your life, if they ran up to you and said, this is an emergency, give me your wallet. You would say, what in the world? Here it is. But there's very few of those people. But you just know. You know what? They would not be asking me that unless it's something. And they take off with your wallet and you wouldn't call the police. Why? Because you know who they are. And there must be a good reason, because they're very good people. How about giving God that benefit of the doubt? If God decides to take someone I love, I wonder why he did that. But I know you're a good God. I don't like it. I'm wondering, can you give me an explanation? But there's a lot of things you don't get an explanation in this life. When you die, boom. Oh, Lord, I should have seen that. But in life, a lot of times you don't know everything because we're very finite creatures with very limited knowledge. And there's 1,000 times in life when we were growing up we thought we knew everything, didn't we? We found out we didn't. It's going to be like that in heaven. God is not beholden to give an explanation for everything that happens. You just got to trust who he is enough to just be able to go on and serve him when you don't understand. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then continue to die on the cross. God sometimes does, the whole last week's sermon, God sometimes shows you later in life, maybe the next week, maybe next month, maybe next year, why it happened, but you've got to trust God enough to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. That was Job who said that. It's more important to know who knows than for you to know. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I pray we'd understand that there are things that happen that are bad that we don't know on this earth, but you're a good God. Matter of fact, the devil can frame it pretty good where it looks just flat out like you did something wrong. And it sure looked like that with Job. Boy, it looked like you wronged him. Lord, it did. When everything he lost, when he was the best guy on the world that you called perfect, he lost everything. His family, his health, his wife, everything, Lord, in a day. I pray, Lord, that we'd be people that trust you and who you are. And there's people on earth we trust a lot, Father. I pray we trust you completely. And that we won't have to know because we know you. Now, Lord, we'd like to know. And sometimes, a lot of times in the Bible, you showed somebody why. We thank you for that. But those few cases where there is no explanation, I pray we'd be faithful to death. And though you slay us, yet will we trust in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.